you're currently on tour for your album Loudmouth. How has it gone so far?
It's gone excellent, man. I did a bunch of dates with my full band on the East Coast and the West Coast, trombones and organs and drummers and upright basses and stuff, which was really fun. And now I'm actually in England right now doing I'm dead smack in the middle of a European tour. Just got back from Germany and Norway, and we'll be in the UK for the next week or so, and then we go to Australia after that.
Okay, so what have your favorite memories of this tour been so far?
Oh man, we ate these. I'm a real foodie, so I have a lot of food memories is what I get when it starts happening to me. But Norway is such a wonderful place because at this time of year the sun doesn't really go down. So you finish the show, you go grab some drinks, you grab a falafel. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and it's still kind of light out, which is quite beautiful, to be honest with you. And it was the same in Oslo. That was Oslo and Bergen. We had two shows, and that Norway's kind of a magical place for me. So that's always a highlight.
Okay, over the years, you've toured with a lot of big name acts, most identifiably Squeeze. You know, how do you think that's prepared you for this tour?
Well, I did a bunch of dates with Squeeze in the States a year or two ago, and then I actually toured with the lead singer, Glenn Tilbrook, in the United Kingdom a few years before that. So he taught me the ropes. He drives his own bus around. He's a crazy character of a man, and he drives his own bus around, and he pulls into the venue. He does the show solo acoustic, and then sleeps in the bus. And all the fans are outside, like, waiting for him to sign whatever T-shirts and stuff. And he just gets drunk and falls asleep in the bus, wakes up the next day, drives the bus to the next gig. I could seriously say that inspired me. We rented a car for this tour. Usually we take a bus or we take trains. Sometimes it's easier. But I'll be driving around for the next week, headed up to Scotland and stuff, and hopefully be parking and having fun and drinking and then going to sleep at night and going to the next show.
Great. You're in the process of writing a short book as well while you're on tour. I mean, how challenging is that?
It's all right, actually. I think it's challenging to write a book whether you're on tour or not. But for me, I do it in short little spurts, so it's more... It makes sense because there's a lot of downtime when you're on the road. There's a lot of, you know, hour and a half after soundcheck before the show where you're sitting around doing nothing. So I try to utilize that time and also get inspired by the things that's happened here, you know.
Absolutely.
Certainly you're surrounded by strangers all the time and a lot of stuff's happening externally and internally, and it makes for good writing.
Yeah, so what's the book about?
Well, it's more a collage of short stories. I'm not sure what it's going to be called yet, but it's basically short stories of mine from the road of experiences that may or may not have happened. I think I'm going to call it The Misadventures of Joe Bronco, which is my alter ego.
Oh, man. For people that haven't heard you before, what would you tell them you sound like?
My favorite description is it sounds like... sardonic Cookie Monster singing for the Muppet Band.
I mean, I personally, like, when I heard your record, I heard a lot of, you know, like, some Van Morrison, some Mark Cohen, some Jackson Browne. I mean, who influences you?
A lot of influences, man. I used to be a real jazz person. I used to really, like, I'm a big Thelonious Monk fan, but I'm also a big Leonard Cohen fan. I'm a big Tom Waits fan. I'm a big Paul Simon fan. I've recently become a big Randy Newman fan. But I grew up listening to Led Zeppelin. You know, that was my favorite band for years. I wanted to be John Paul Jones.
Nice. This new album was, funded partially by your fans. So what does that mean to you?
Well, it was a really good feeling because I reached out to my fans and said, hey, I need some money to make the next record. You guys want to help out? And a lot of people said yes. And a lot of people handed me money in return for some rewards that I would give them back to them, whether it be a CD or a T-shirt or both or a house concert. Or I've been calling people on their birthdays and singing happy birthday to them, all this weird stuff. But in the end, what it means for me is that all the touring that I've done in my life and all the fans that I've acquired, it actually pays off. You know what I mean? That's a really concrete feeling to have as an artist, to know that you touch people enough to where they want to help you keep creating.
Absolutely. it kind of plays into the official video for Sinners. I mean, what was that like, put that together?
Well, we reached out, we said to fans, all right, guys, you know, the song really related, my fans really love that song, so we said, why don't you make the video? So we set it up, we gave them about 3 weeks to, I said, do whatever you want. Unfortunately, I couldn't use the XXX material. That will stay within my computer and my computer only. But fans submitted a bunch of clips of themselves either singing along or doing weird stuff. And I picked the best ones, or the ones that made the most sense, or the ones that didn't contain pornography, and pieced it all together. And that's what you see now. It's the official video.
Okay. I watched that video on YouTube, and there's a video of you on YouTube where you're kind of telling the tail end story of the origin of Sinners. Can you tell us that whole story?
Well, the story of the song Sinners is I spent a lot of years out on the road, 8 months a year or something like that, all over the world, having a lot of fun, getting in a lot of trouble, having a good time. And what I did was, for this record, I took a break from all that, and I just stayed in one place for a while. I quit smoking for a little while, I quit drinking, and I went and did a 10-day silent retreat, which is basically a hardcore up in the mountains situation where you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't talk, you can't write, you're not allowed to read, you're not allowed to listen to music. And so there I am, trying to keep my head straight. You basically just meditate all day. And there's a 10-day retreat, and about 5 days into the retreat, this song just landed in my lap, the melody, and then I had all these lyrics coming to my head, and I wasn't allowed to write them down. See, because there was no writing utensils, there was no pens or anything, so I'm thinking, oh man, I don't want to forget it, I got 5 more days. So I walked up, and there was this little marker that you used to sign up to clean the bathroom. That was the only thing they had, was this little marker. You're supposed to write your name and say, oh, I'll clean the bathroom tomorrow. That marker had never been used. It was a brand new marker. So I used that marker, and I took a pamphlet from the course, and I wrote all the words down. And then I waited 5 days, and I went home, and one of the first words I spoke was trying to sing that song and figure out the chords around it. And the ironic part is that it's a song about drinking and smoking and screwing that I wrote while I wasn't allowed at all to drink or smoke or screw.
What do you think is your favorite song on the album, and why?
Like, what is this, like Sophie's Choice? You know, they're all my children in one way. I can't just give one away. I'd say it depends on the day. Today Home is my favorite song. That's the last song on the record. And when I do a lot of traveling, I have to remind myself that there ultimately is only one place, and we're always there.
So after this tour is over, what do you think you'll do?
Well, what I'm planning on doing, I don't think this tour is going to be over for a while. I'm going to Australia after this, and then I come home 4th of July weekend, and I go up to Canada to do a festival up there, and then I come down to California to do some shows, and then I go to Switzerland to do a festival, and then I have a week off, and then I go to Mexico. So after Mexico, we're talking September, and that is like 2 solid months from now, my friend, so I don't know what I'm going to be doing as far as that goes. I got a lot of good stuff to look forward to, and I'm going to try to take it one day at a time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to have a lot of stamps on your passport.
A lot of stamps on the passport.
Yep. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell your fans listening about yourself or about the tour that we haven't discussed yet?
Not necessarily. No, I'm kidding. I just want to say I'm really grateful that I have the opportunity to tour the world and do all this crazy shit. Am I allowed to curse?
You can curse as much as you want, my friend.
Oh, man, I didn't fucking know that. All right. It's hard to sum up all a bunch of stuff, but come out to the shows, see it live, listen to the record, share it with your friends, spread the good word. You know, everything helps these days. as far as just telling people what you love. That's the best way, the word of mouth,